the power and grace of God falls on me so strong, I have a hard time doing anything but crying. You know, and then I'm supposed to get up and teach. And I'm going, Lord, if I have Andre sing, if, you know, you want me to have Andre sing that song? You know what will happen to me if she sings that song? But he just kept bringing it back. Now, this song, this week we're gonna go for the jugular of the gospel entrepreneur. You might as well know that. That's one reason that the Lord sends me here, because when I minister these things at other churches, I know that probably the vast majority of the people in there are not called to that. And you may or may not be, but I do know that the major call at this church, I mean, thank God, everything happens here that happens at any church, right? People get saved, people get healed, people get baptized in the Holy Ghost, amen? But the number one call, as I understand it, why God raised up Covenant Worship Center, is to train a group of people first, so you'll be going out and training others, to cause the transfer of wealth that's going to be required to fuel the combines of revival that are going to sweep the earth in these last days. Isn't that right? Amen. So when I teach it at other places, I have to be kind of general, and I can't really go for the jugular, if you will, because I know that everybody there doesn't have that call, but you're going to get it both barrels. I mean, I'm going to preach this like I'm just preaching to one of you, and I know for sure that you're called to be a gospel entrepreneur, and if you stand before Jesus, when the day comes, you stand before that... Stand before your Lord, you'll have to give account if you didn't transfer millions into the kingdom. Mm-hmm. I'm going to preach to you like my job is to help you fulfill that call. You got it? Yeah. Amen? Not everybody in here may have that call. But even if you don't, the principles of stewardship apply to us all. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Amen. So you're still going to be benefited. But I'm going to preach to you like I know for sure. You know, Paul says, I have finished my course. How many of y'all want that testimony?
Amen.
You know, I have apprehended that. He was trying to apprehend that for which Jesus apprehended him. He wanted to accomplish what Jesus called him to do. In these meetings, I'm going to take the position that you have been called to transfer millions. That's why he apprehended you.
Yes.
To fuel the fires, these combines of revival. And I'm going to preach to you like my job as his servant is to help you in any way I can fulfill that. So that when you come to the end of your life, you'll have the same testimony as Paul. I finished my course. Amen?
Yeah.
Now this song, you might say, when you hear which one she's going to sing, you might say, well, this is an awfully strange song to sing at a meeting like that. And before I forget it, now those running the tape, I would like to have this song as part of this teaching, if we can. And it needs to be on the tape. Because if you don't have this heart, you're never going to be his servant, especially in the realm of kingdom finance. You've got, this is a prerequisite. You have to have this first. Amen.
No pressure.
No pressure.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. Oh, I'd rather just have Jesus than have his own land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be a king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. Oh, I'd rather just have Jesus than anything that the world affords today. Yes, I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear. I would rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I would rather know that I was true to his holy name than to be a king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. Have my Jesus than anything that the world affords today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just tell him, Lord, my life belongs to you, Jesus. You're my Savior, you're my King, you're my God.
Hallelujah.
Lord, let me finish my course in serving you, Lord. I'd rather have you than anything, Jesus. My life belongs to you. Do with me as you will, Master. Do with me. My life doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you, Jesus. Let the rest of my life be in your service. Let me finish my course with joy. Let me fight the good fight and finish my race. Oh, I love you, Jesus. My life, all of my life is yours. Do with me as you will, Master. Do with me as you will. I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Now, I'm in a position where I can physically bow. I'm just asking you to bow your heart with me and agree with this prayer. Master, you know how I feel. You've brought me to these wonderful people. Lord, help me serve you. I've not come here to be ministered to, but to minister. Lord, I pray that your mind flows through me this week. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, Master, that I can speak forth the oracles of God. Present the mind of Christ with such simplicity we can all understand it. And Father, I pray that you anoint their ears with hearsay. Cut away the hustle and bustle of the world, Lord, and let them hear what the Spirit is saying to them. Not only to the church, Lord, but what you're saying to each of them as an individual. Father, and let the end result of this meeting not just be another meeting where we have a good time, although we know we will. Father, let it be souls. If it doesn't end in souls, Father, we wasted our time. Father, let the transfer of this wealth from the he who boasts himself the God of this world, let the transfer finally begin. Transferred into your true servants with the heart of a servant. That we may truly go into the fields and reap the harvest that is so white. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that you use me this week. Let me be your servant. In Jesus' name, everyone who agrees with that prayer say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory to God. Now, I told you, see the problem I have after Andrea? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, let me do a little quick review since so many of you have not heard those other messages. I've done three. This will be the fourth series that I've done at my friend LaRue's church. I thank God for the day he got saved. There's going to be millions of people in the kingdom. Not only through his own personal ministry, but to all of you that he's trained.
Amen.
There's just no two ways about it. That's the way it's going to be. And he's going to have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be many people there saying, thank God for you, LaRue. Because the enemy that he's coming up against, the root of it is the worst of all. The love of money is the root of all evil. Getting past that one.
past that one to become a true servant in the realm of kingdom finances is the most difficult of all. I mean, there's a lot of things that take men out. You know, everything from sex, women, you know, it could be the other way around if it was a woman called a minister, but those kind of lusts, some people just, you know, they spend their life building their own ministry, not God's. That's another one. But my Bible says the root of all evil is the love of money. Boy, in order to truly be God's servant in the realm of kingdom finances, that root's got to come out. I mean, it's got to come out. It's got to be just like that song. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. Why do you do what you do? See? But boy, if you can get it out. Jesus said, if you can remove that sick and iron tree, get that rascal thrown into the sea, that deepest root of all. He said, then you can say to this mountain, be removed. And that thing will be cast into the sea as well. Well, the mountain we're specifically after this week is Mammon. Make no, don't have any two thoughts about it. We are after Mammon. And that rascal is coming down and going into the sea. That is the devil's own gospel now. And we're going to attack it. Is that alright with you guys? Hallelujah. Now, the first series that I taught here, and by the way, this has just been the Lord. It's just, I didn't intend these to be sequential, but they turned out that way. And each series kind of builds on the previous one. The first one was called the Houston Kingdom Finance Seminar. And by the way, this is just for my little tape catalog, which is free. If you contact me, you'll get one automatically. Said that first one, we addressed this question. Who is truly Lord of the earth's wealth? Jesus or Satan? Well, if it is Jesus, if he is Lord of all, then here's the question. Why does the devil's people have control of most of it? I see right at this point, normally I'd bring out my tape table and start selling you tapes. Mine are free. If you'd like to have the answer to that, just ask for the series. And all you have to ask for is the financial package. You get all these in sequence. We had four tapes on that question. I don't have time to review all that today. The second one that I did is called Grace, God's Foundation for Abundance. Let me read you this little statement from the tape catalog. I have found that it is easier to accidentally slip over into works instead of grace in the area of our prosperity than any other realm of life. We don't mean to do it, but we seem to naturally gravitate toward works when it comes to God prospering us. The purpose of this tape series is to lay a solid foundation of grace in your life when it comes to God's provision for you. How many of y'all would like to walk in some of that? Glory to God. Now, once that solid foundation is established, then the Lord is free to build a superstructure of prosperity that the winds of adversity cannot blow down. Now, again, right now, so shouldn't I bring out my tape table? And they're free if you want. That's the way the Lord told me to do it. And then the last one that I did was December, a year ago. And let me read you the litany. This one is called God's Steward of Kingdom Finances. Let me read you from the tape catalog. It says, in these last days, there's going to be massive revivals to reap untold millions into the kingdom of God. How many of y'all believe that? Every tongue, every nation, every tribe, every kindred. Amen? Like our pastor says often, he says, you know, he says, it doesn't make any difference. Pastor Dave knows that the Lord showed him over and again. By the way, it's Dave Roberson I'm speaking of. That's my pastor. Glory to God, you know. You're Pastor LaRue's pastor. Hallelujah. Now, he knows someday, the way he phrased it, God's given me Japan. Hallelujah. Now, he knows the day's going to come. He is going to stand on the shores of Japan and preach the gospel, not in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Amen. Now, the Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? But how shall they preach lest they be sent? Now, David's job is not, he's called to pastor the anointing in him. He is to fast, he is to pray, he is to meditate the word so that when he gets to Japan, or weekly, I mean everything that he does, but we're talking about Japan, when he gets there, I mean, he's not been having one foot in the world and one foot with Jesus, you know. When he gets there, the power is flowing. I mean, he's walking with the mind of Christ and the anointing of Almighty God, and the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, everything that goes with the gospel. Amen? Now, his job is to make sure that he pastors his gift. That's what he's supposed to do. He's not called to go out and transfer the wealth to pay for that thing. That's what you guys are called to do, not just Dave. You understand what I'm saying? But there's the goer, and there's the sender. How shall they preach, lest they be sent? So, who do you think the devil hates the man like Dave, who's standing there preaching the gospel in the demonstration of the Spirit and power? Isn't the guy who sent him just as dangerous to Satan's kingdom as that guy? Don't you know the devil's going to try and stop you as much as he's going to try and stop Dave? And see, in some ways, it's easier to stop the senders, because what you have to get past is that root. And it's the deepest root of all, the love of money. You with me? Alright. I didn't finish reading that, did I? Let me finish. In these last days, there's going to be massive revivals. Yeah, I can hear that better myself. To reap untold millions into the kingdom of God. Even now, the Lord is raising up an army of anointed men and women who are willing to give their lives to preach the gospel in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. But where are the finances going to come from to pay for the expense of holding these mighty campaigns? The Bible speaks of an anointing that few in the church today know anything about. It is an anointing where God partners with a man or a woman to cause enormous transfers of wealth from the world system, mammon, into the kingdom of God for our Lord's use. God has done it before. If you go into this church, I know you've heard about Solomon. I know you've heard about Joseph. God has done it before, and he's going to do it. God has done it before, and he is doing it now. He is doing it now. Now, he will do it even more as he finds men and women who have been qualified by the Spirit to handle the wealth righteously. That's what that third series of tapes is about. Now, when I, that was in December a year ago, and when I left here, now for over a year in my prayer time, the Lord had been teaching me these principles. The one thing you'll find out about the Holy Spirit, he's real. Well, and what I mean by that in particular here is, when you went to school and sat down, you know, did you go up and did you raise your hand and tell the teacher what you wanted to learn that hour? I'd like to learn algebra today, thank you very much. Or did the teacher come in and sit you down and say, shut up, be quiet, and listen to what I tell you? Now, you're going to find the Holy Spirit's very much like that. Although he's not rude. But here's what I found. I can't, when I go to pray, and I'm talking about mainly going off to pray long seasons of hours, praying in other tongues, I found that I cannot control what he chooses to teach me next. I mean, he's the teacher, and I'm the student. Now, I doesn't mean I don't ask him things. I do. I ask him, like, I like to ask him rough questions. You know? This is a rough question. How come Hollywood has all the money and your church does not? Yeah. There's a rough question for you. Do you ever think about that? Seems like they have all the money to pump out all the trash they want. Yeah. And the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ finances revivals with fake sales. Yeah. Yeah. And thank God for any little mama that made cookies and, you know, that did anything. I'm not against that, but I'm just saying the devil has to be laughing. Yeah. Now, why is that happening? You're not going to like this. Because we're stupid. Well, that's the modern translation of my people perish for a lack of knowledge. We're stupid. We're ignorant. Doesn't mean we can't learn, but we have not noticed. We have not known the truth. And it's only the truth that sets us free. Amen? Well, after I taught this last series, and really what that one was about is some of the qualifying factors, things you've got to have in your heart. We really concluded, just to show you where we ended in December, go to Luke 17:10. Luke 17:10. And we had taught at length, really, everything, all these principles, starting from Luke 15 through Luke 17:10, which, by the way, is all one subject. He never changes it all the way through there. If you want to really be a gospel entrepreneur, I suggest you read Luke 15:1 all the way through Luke 17:10 at least 50 times. You need to equip your spirit for day and night meditation. Yeah. And you need to get the whole picture in there. And every one of those verses is a stroke of the brush. But it's hard to understand what they mean if you don't see the overall picture. Okay? That's another, Lord keep me from rabbit trails. All those things are already on those tapes that I told you about. You can already get all that. But now Luke 17:10, he has taught all of chapter 15, all of chapter 16, and then chapter 17 down through verse 10, basically on stewardship. Not just finances, but including finances. Basically, he's saying, how should a person that's serving God steward their life? That's what this is all about. And especially in the realm of finances. And here's his concluding statement. And for a faith man, it just blew my hat in a creek. I didn't like it. Look what he says. Verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say. Now this is really hard to get a faith man to say. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now see, the reason I had a hard time getting me to say that is I thought I was thinking religiously. I thought what he meant by that was, I'm an unprofitable servant. Well, that word, normally, you'd think it to mean like, you're of no benefit, you're of no use, you're no value, type of thing. And as we demonstrated on those tapes before, that's not what he's talking about, because it starts out, just to show you, just back up to Luke 15:1, and we're just going to do this real quickly. This all starts, what he's trying to do is make us like servants like he is. What do you think Jesus is profitable to the kingdom? Amen. He's profitable, useful, of value to the kingdom. You see, because it starts off in Luke 15:1 saying, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Now get that. The sinners flock to Jesus. If our churches ever get to be more like him, they'll flock here too. I'm sorry. I got to be nice. Not all the churches, you know. But the Pharisees, the religious folks and the scribes, they murmured saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. See? In other words, the Pharisees and scribes were supposed to be the servants. They're the ones that are supposed to, they're the ones that people look to. And they have absolutely no understanding of what the kingdom of God is all about. They don't understand it's about souls. They think it's about the way you comb your hair and the way you do all these external things, and you got to look right, act right, smell right, be right, and for God's sake, don't come in with the smell of a sinner on you. And for the next, all this time from here through verse 17:10, he's going, all of that is intended to correct them and us. So that we have the same heart in us that was in him. He's going, you don't have any idea even why I've come. You don't have any idea what the gospel is all about. And so he's teaching from there all the way through Luke 17:10, teaching them how a person that's sold out to God, like the Pharisees are supposed to be and like the scribes are supposed to be, how a person is supposed to steward their life in order to be like Jesus. Amen? So at the end of this, when he says, say we're unprofitable servants, well, if he's trying to make a servant like unto himself, we can see what he was doing. He was bringing great benefit. He was very profitable to the kingdom in that sense. So he's not talking about that. What's he talking about? Well, we're going to get into that a lot this week. It's on those other tapes too, but I'll just give it to you free. Say this after me. And I'm going to say it this way, because this is what it means. Say it. I, when I have done all those things, which my Lord commands me, here's what I say. I am your servant. I do not serve you for personal profit. The things that I do, I do them because you call me to do them. Therefore, those things are my duty. I am your servant. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now see, if Jesus wanted to serve himself, he should have stayed in heaven. But now think about it. You talk about someone who had it made. Diamond doorknobs. Jasper walls. What we kill men to get. Gold. They consider that suitable asphalt material. You know? I mean, if he was concerned about his own pleasure and his own comfort and his own safety and all of that, wouldn't he have been better off to stay there? So one thing you got to say for sure, he did not leave there to come here to gain personal profit for himself. He'd have been better off to stay there if that was his motivation. So everything he did as the unprofitable servant, in the sense of, Father, I'm doing this, not my will, but thine be done. Even in the garden now, his own humanity rose up to the point he's thinking about the agony that he's going to endure the following day. And he's, you know, the Bible says he's tempted in all points like we are. We have a hard time with that, but that's what it says. And he's going, Father, if there be any other way, if there's any other way, please, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, and I thank God for nevertheless. Nevertheless. I mean, let's get it plain. I don't want to do this. This is going to be agony. This is going to hurt. I don't know if I can comprehend being separated from you, Father. He knew what was going to happen. He'd read Isaiah. They're going to beat me, and sickness is going to ravage my body where I'm not even going to look like a human. Says his visage was marred more than any man. Couldn't even recognize whether it was an animal or a human hanging on that cross anymore. Every sickness, every disease, I mean, the devil's fury was unleashed totally against him. And God had to stand there and turn his back. No defense for the Son. He knew what was coming. Father, if there's any way, let this pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. Not my will. Thine be done. Boy, if you ever want to see the heart of a servant, and if you think you're not going to have to get that same heart, if you think the devil is going to let you come in and plunder his coffers without throwing the best hell has against you, you've got another thing coming. And I mean, you better understand the price. You better understand what you're getting yourself into. The devil will fight you harder over the money than even salvation or healing. You know why? In his arrogance, he truly considers it his. He considers God wouldn't let him be the God of heaven. He's determined, if he can, to be the God of this world. He's determined. And you think you're going to come up there with your little Shandai and your promised box and plunder his coffers? This being already took humanity to hell once. I'm talking about in Noah's day. He'd already deceived the whole nation. I mean, all the nations, all humanity. The devil had gotten them all to go his way. It was down to one man, just Noah. God said, that's it. Wiped out the whole earth except for Noah and his house and started again. You better understand your enemy. He already deceived the entire human race once. But say this after me now. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. It's simply a matter of knowing the truth and knowing how to operate in the truth and learning how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. The devil really has no authority. He has no power over you whatsoever except the way we think. He only works through deception, and that's the only way he's got the money away from the church. Because it belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now see, you might say, well, I remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and the devil says, took him up to that high place, you know, showed him the glory in the kingdoms of this world. And he says, if you will fall down and worship me, I will give all of this wealth unto you, and all of this power, and all of this, because it's been given unto me. And did you notice Jesus didn't correct him? Because at that moment it was the truth. The devil had usurped it from Adam. When Adam, originally Adam was to be the God of this world, little g, if you will. He was to be the underlord underneath God, steward the world. But he fell, lost his authority to stop the devil. And the devil basically took over by default. Adam couldn't stop him anymore. And so now, when the devil said that to Jesus, at that moment it was true. It had been given to him from the first man, Adam. But I want you to know at the cross, the Bible says, Jesus is the second man. Yeah. And he is the last Adam. Now, what does that mean? When Jesus died on that cross, Adam, and I mean all of Adam, all of his descendants, the entire species of Adam, male and female, if you will, died in Christ. The first Adam is dead. His authority died with him. Basically, that authority returned to God now. And the devil doesn't have it to usurp anymore. So now God's going, let's see now. God never takes away. He could never take that authority back until Adam died. Once God gives, he doesn't take it back. You with me? And he could never do that until the first Adam died, but he died on that cross in Christ. Now that he's dead, God's going there. Who would be a good candidate? I need someone to rule and reign over the heavens and the earth. My son will raise him from the dead, and he'll be the second man, the last Adam, and all power and all authority in heaven and in earth is his. And the devil cannot make that boast anymore. It does not belong to him. He does not have that authority any longer. Adam is dead. Long live the second Adam. Amen. Amen. And we are to occupy till he comes. We are to occupy. We have authority. We, hey, what are you going to find out? Okay. Yes, sir. I've been bottled up for a year. So watch out. Now, basically I've gotten you up to where we were in December. Those of you that were here, amen? Oh, now listen, when I left here, driving back, when I started praying, remember that part about I can't control what the Holy Spirit teaches me? He'd been teaching me these things for a year. But now when I went into my prayer times, he wasn't teaching me about kingdom finances anymore. And after a little while, I mean, I thought, well, maybe a day, you know, he'll get back to it tomorrow. Well, after a little while, it was obvious he was taking me down another vein. It's what Pastor Dave calls the born-again trail. You know? And so I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, why aren't you teaching me more about this transfer of wealth, about kingdom finances? You do understand that Hollywood still has the money and LaRue doesn't. And Pastor Dave doesn't. And all these other men that they've got dreams of that you've put in their heart to accomplish for you, and they don't have the money to do it. You do understand? Why aren't you teaching me these things? Are you ready? He said the most astounding thing to me. He said, the actual transfer of wealth is accomplished by inheritance only. I've taken you as far as I can down that path until you better understand who you are and how to appropriate from your inheritance. Glory to God. Then he gave me some instructions for last year. We already had two meetings scheduled, one in Florida. Actually, we did two meetings down there at the same time, two different churches. And then we had one in Long Island that we'd already committed to. And the Bible says the Lord loves a man that swears to his own hurt and changes not. So we went ahead and did those. But the Lord told me, he says, I don't want you taking any meetings in 98 anymore. And let me tell you, we could have. There's a price to obey God. We could have booked the year pretty easy. 98. The Lord says, I want you to give me 8 hours a day. I have an ugly building. Don't you need to get my tapes? I have an ugly, is it ugly, LaRue? It's ugly. LaRue came, I opened the door, he looked in, he raised his hands, and he says, I have no excuses. It's ugly. But there's no distractions there. And he says, he wanted basically 8 hours a day in prayer. I wasn't totally obedient, but enough. Maybe 70, 75%, something like that. There are hundreds of hours of prayer in the ugly building in 1998. And it took a year to the month from learning. See, now Pastor Dave come to find out the Lord had put him on the born again trail and I didn't know it. All I knew was there in my prayer time, the things that the Lord was showing me. Now when I say born again trail, for those of you that aren't familiar with it, who we are, what's really happened to us when we got born again? Are we still an old sinner saved by grace, or are we something different? Do we operate different from those in the old covenant? If so, how? those kind of things. Well, during that year, not only learning everything that the Father was teaching Dave about the Born Again Trail, which that's a lot. I mean, I just digest those tapes. Sometimes I listen to them 10 or 15 times because trying to get the revelation that's on them. But then all the things he was teaching me about the Born Again Trail and praying in other tongues, it took a year to the month. It was December. And I sent y'all that email on January 2nd. Finally, my understanding. Just like this, all I can tell you. 1 minute I was in this room over here, basically where I still was in December when I was down here. And then after a year of praying, suddenly, it's like I stepped across into another room. And I'm going, what is this? And all of it's one concept that we're going to get into. Now let me tell you what this room is like. Once I saw this, and it allowed me to step over into this new room of understanding. It's like, in the spirit, it's like lined around the walls are all these little treasure chests. Like an old pirate's treasure chest, you know? And they're all in there. Now that I'm in that room and I go over and I, to me, this is what it's like. I lift up one, I look in there and I can see what's there. But I have to go, Holy Spirit, what is this? And what the heck do you do with it? You know? And then I go to the next one and I open up the lid on that one. Now these are revelations. These are things that's in the Word. These are things that's in the Word. And he says, now here's what he told me. I'm just sharing, we're just kind of bringing you up to date with what this week's about. He says, now, for the gospel entrepreneur, or you could say the steward of kingdom finance, he says, I've endeavored to bring many men into this room. And women, I'm sure. He says, here's the danger. He says, the treasure in every box, you must let me pray that mystery all the way through you. Do not start with your carnal mind trying to understand what's in that box. That's the danger, and that's where you fall. He says, if you'll have the patience to just open the box, basically certain portions of the Word, feed it into you, pray in other tongues, I will get it across to you, and you'll be able to operate in truth. Amen? Now, do I have all those boxes open? No. But I've got enough of them to warrant another trip. All right, we're going to take the next step this time. Now, I've got a few more minutes, so. Now, of all places, I've been to prosperity seminars, call them what you will, finance seminars. I never had any of them go where I'm taking you now. You ready? Go to Galatians chapter 5. What you're going to find this week as we go through this, I had no idea what you expected. But now what you're going to find, there's going to be a blending of two streams. One of them has to do with gospel entrepreneurship, or you could call it steward of kingdom finances, or you could call it transfer of wealth from mammon into the kingdom. That's one stream. The other stream is the born-again trail, because I'm telling you, it is by inheritance. We do have to know who we are. And I'm just going to preview a little bit of that right now, just to show you how serious it is. Okay? I may lose some of you here in just the next little bit, but it's okay. I don't mean lose you because of the revelation. I mean, religion may rise up in you about now and say, I'm leaving. We're going to knock over some sacred cows. They got to be knocked over if we're ever going to do what we're called to do. LaRue could give you some testimonies on the second time I come. Those sacred cows got to go, don't they, LaRue? Now, before we even read this, and actually we're going to start in chapter 4 in a minute. Before we even read this, what is the book of Galatians about? Okay, Galatia, that area was a region where Paul had gone through. These were Gentiles. He had come through preaching the gospel, got a bunch of them saved. He stayed there for a season, taught them, established, I'm sure he established some pastors and elders and different ones, and taught them the gospel. But, you know, an apostle, eventually he had to move on to another region. Well, this happened all the time. When Paul would move on to the next region, whether it was Corinth or wherever he went, now behind him would come in what we call the Judaizers. Now the Judaizers, basically, they were coming in going, even if they allowed, you know, to the Jew, it was a hard thing. I mean, here we've kept the law all these centuries. We've done this, we've done that, and now Paul, you're telling us that through Jesus Christ, these swine-eating Gentiles are accepted by God just like us. He's made them equal with us. Paul, we're having a hard time with this. You see? So they would come in behind Paul, and basically they'd come in, even if they accepted the fact that a Jew, that a Gentile could be, become a child of Abraham, let me put it that way, and a joint heir with them, then they go on, they say, oh, but to be perfect. Now, if you really want to be perfected, you're going to have to keep the law. And that, so they would come in, and that's what the whole letter of Galatians is about. Paul is, because, I mean, these guys are strong. If you guys haven't noticed, religious spirits are very strong. Now picture these. You've seen these in on TV and different things. Now picture, let's say you're a young man, sat underneath Paul's ministry, you grew up in Galatia, you're a Gentile, maybe you worshiped Athena or something, I don't know. And you hear the gospel preached. And you believe it. And you go up to an altar call one night, you get saved, you get born again, you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, the whole nine yards, okay? But you've been saved maybe 6 months and Paul has to move on now. Now stop for a minute. One thing about Paul, he knew the law. He grew up under the law. He was so zealous for the law, he was killing Christians before he got saved. I mean, he was the epitome of these guys. He understands that Judaizer mind better than anybody on earth. He says, one thing is, you better listen to me. I grew up under the law. I've come out of the law. You better listen to me. Now watch this. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory or a comparison? For there are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai. What was given on Mount Sinai? He's talking about the law, is he not? Written in tablets, you know, by the finger of God, alright? The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar, like an allegory, is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth or compares to Jerusalem, which now is where these Judaizers came from, and is in bondage. With her children, they're still under the law, they've not been born again. But Jerusalem, which is above, how many of y'all know heaven is your home? You are aliens. You are an invading force from another world. Jerusalem, which above is free, which is the mother of us all. Thank God for that. Verse 27. Now we're coming to something. What's this got to do with finances? Everything! You've got to get this or you're sunk. You're dead in the water already. Now watch. It is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, us-ins, we, as Isaac was, we are the children of promise. Yes. Say that with me. I am a child of promise. I'm a supernatural being. Like Isaac couldn't be born without a miracle of God. It took a miracle for me to be born again. I'm a child of promise. Not religion. Hallelujah. Now verse 29, watch this, verse 29. But as then, just like then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, and even so it is now. Do you understand what he's telling these Galatians? These Judaizers are still operating by the flesh. They've never been born again. All they know is the law, and they've come to persecute you who have been freeborn children. Like it was then, it's still that way now, he's saying. Now watch. Verse 29, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Oh, get this. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Now listen. Get your ears on. Listen. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. And what did God say? The transfer of wealth is accomplished by inheritance only. And if we, the church, freeborn, don't come out from under the law, we're never going to share in that inheritance. Now what do you mean by that? I'm talking about the tithe, if you haven't figured that out already. Now it got real quiet when I said that. Got real quiet when I said that, because I'm touching the sacred of most sacred cows right now. Now listen. I'm just going to ask you to think on a few questions between now and this evening. Just think on it. Everyone, take your Bible. We're through in Galatians for right now. You can lose it for now. Now take your Bible, and I want you to pinch. I want you to find Exodus 20. That's where the Ten Commandments are given. Just a few things I want you to think about between now and tonight's service. Now, in my Bible, I'll hold this up where everybody can see it. Well, that includes a bunch of notes. Let me get the actual Bible here. Genesis 1 through Exodus 20 is what we want. All right. That is not even a quarter inch. Can y'all see my Bible? My Bible. I have believe for a healing for my Bible. But can y'all see this? That's not even a quarter of an inch, is it? Now, do you understand there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of generations of human beings that lived on the earth that God dealt with before the law? Before the law? Noah, Job, lots of them. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, lots of them. Before the law. Okay? And he made Abraham rich. Now think about this. Think about this. You just ask yourself this question. I'll help you tonight if you want to. I want you to search your memory and think back to everything you know about that part of the Bible right there that we've got pinched. Genesis 1 up to Exodus 20. And I want you to think of anywhere before the law that there was a curse if you didn't tithe. Now even those of you that stick use that example of Abraham. Well, Abraham was before the law and he tithe. Let me ask you the question I'm asking you. Was he cursed if he didn't? Well, not according to scripture, you won't find one. The curse never appears until you get to the law. Now, isn't that interesting? Most people don't ever think about that. What did Paul say in Galatians? Religion, those born of the flesh, they represent Mount Sinai, where the law was given. But we are born of the free woman. And we are not under the law. And if we're ever going to partake of our true inheritance, I'm telling you, let me just, now see, you can get this principle real easy when it comes to salvation. Let me ask you this. Can the law save you? Well, I'm here to preach a gospel to you telling you that this salvation in the blood thing is a crock. But that's what those Judaizers are doing. I'm telling you, the only way to heaven is by your works. So. You see? Now, would you buy that? You wouldn't buy it. And why wouldn't you buy it? You know the truth. The truth has made you free from that bondage. Isn't that right? You already know. You already know it's not by works you're saved. I mean, you can pass out tracts and be good to the poor and pray for folks and be sweet and nice and split hell wide open. You must be born again, Jesus said. What matters is there a new spirit on the inside of you spawned from the loins of Jesus Christ? That's what matters. Now, our works are supposed to be born out of that new nature.
Yes.
You see? It's a flip-flop completely. All right? You understand that when it comes to salvation, don't you? I couldn't come in here and preach to you guys. You should be throwing prophet rocks, and you should. If I come in here preaching that works will get you to heaven, you know better than that. And what Paul is really saying, I lied to you, I didn't mean to. Go to Galatians again, Galatians 5. Got to see this. And this is the introduction. Now, I'm throttling back. I'm holding back here with both, Lord, hold me back. A year I've been locked up. Oh. Whatever we want to do, precept upon precept, line upon line. That's the way you do it, Sam. Now, so after that argument there, boy, that's a good one, isn't it? Let's read verse 30 again, Galatians 4:30. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. And really what I'm asking you guys to do this week is please cast out religion.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get rid of it forever.
Yes.
Just like you can't go to heaven by religion, you must be born into a family. I'm telling you, God's prosperity operates like a family does. It does not operate by a religion. And if we, now watch this, watch.
Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir. Not be heir. You'll never partake of your inheritance with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now let's keep going. Now watch this. Now he's, the struggle Paul is having here with Galatians, he is specifically talking about salvation, the new birth experience. Because these Judaizers are really trying to get them to cast under, what is that, tread underfoot the blood of Jesus and cast it aside and go back to the law of Moses. That's what they're trying to get them to do. So Paul's struggle here with the church then is trying to keep them from going back under the law when it comes to their salvation. My struggle and LaRue's struggle in the church today is trying to get the church to come out from under the law into the freedom that's been given to the sons of the living God, that we can once and for all begin partaking of the inheritance that belongs to us anyway.
Amen.
Us meaning the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that song? Servants of His. Servants of His. But we're never going to partake till we come out from under the law. You can't have it both ways. Now watch this. Let me prove that point. Stand fast in the liberty. This is Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What's that? The law. Stop it. Plain English. Paul's saying, stop it. You've come out from under that. Don't go back under it. How plain is that? Now watch. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now stop for a minute. Hey, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I had nothing to do with it. In this country, they do it for health reasons, okay? He's not talking about that. He's talking about they were being tempted to do it in order to keep the law of Moses and the covenant with Abraham. Like, it's all based on that kind of stuff. So that's what he's talking about. You mean you're okay, you know? I guarantee you, I had nothing to do with that, okay? I was a baby, all right? That's not what he's talking about. If you're doing it for that reason, to go back under the law, all right? Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. But I testify again to every man that is circumcised, if you do it for that reason, if you're going back under the law, you're a debtor to do the whole law. Now Christ, now get this, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Now let me put that even, just double barrel. Works can't save you. And if you go back to works trusting in the law of Moses to make heaven, Christ can't help you. You'll be lost forever. You've trodden underfoot the blood of Christ. You've rejected the Lamb. And you understand that with salvation, don't you? Now, the same principle is true when it comes to healing. You know you can't earn your healing. It's by His stripes. You are healed. Perfect church attendance doesn't matter. You know, bigger offerings doesn't matter. You can't buy your healing, can you? You get the point? I mean, it's a grace. He did it all. All you can do is freely receive it. Isn't that right? Okay? But now think about this. Think. Now, okay, we see these Judaizers coming in behind Paul, right? Who was behind them? Who was motivating them? That's the devil, isn't it? And do you know why? He's going, oh Lord. He's starting to figure this out. God has made a way to put that same nature that was in Jesus that destroyed, did so much havoc to my kingdom. God has figured out a way to put that same spirit in these people. And if they ever get loose and free like he was loose and free, they'll all be destroying my kingdom. The only hope I have to convince them to stay under the law. That they're still just the same old sinner. The only difference now is they're just forgiven, but not changed. And if I can keep them under the law, then they'll never operate in power. And I can continue with my destructions at my will, and they won't be able to set the captives free. Because they're operating under the law. Now, can you see when it comes to the finances of the church, if you were the devil and you were wanting to put a ceiling on the finances of the church, wouldn't you have to get these born-again, spirit-born people under the law? If you can keep them thinking they're just natural, fallen creatures, only forgiven now, but no power.
then they can't operate and do anything supernaturally. No, you're just like the world, and you have to operate according to the world's ways, which is men. Here, let me give you this law, let me give you these things, and I'll just keep you under the law. And because it's the same principle, he says, if you go back under the law regarding your salvation, Christ profits you nothing. You go back under the law regarding your healing, you're never going to get it. If you go back under the law concerning your prosperity, you have cut yourself off from the supernatural operation of God. Quiet in this church, man. We've got to come out from under the law.
Yeah.
Got to. And let me tell you something from a guy who knows. As it was then, and the children of the flesh persecuted the freeborn of the spirit. Trust me. This message brings a lot of persecution. Because I'm touching the security of most pastors.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just telling you like it is. Most of them wouldn't know how to believe God for a pair of socks without you and your tithe. That's just the way it is. And we're upsetting the whole apple cart. Now, I'm telling you the end result. Now, I'll just go ahead and tell you now. Gary, do you believe? Are you not a giver? I'll stack my giving up against yours. How's that? But percentage-wise, I'll stack it up with you. Now, I believe in giving. I believe in giving a lot more than 10%. Previews of coming attractions. Previews of coming attractions. We'll let you go here in about, don't worry, we'll let you go in 2 hours. No. Previews. Alright, let's say a guy right now is making, you know, he's making a fair living in Houston. Now, the numbers I use this week, I know to some people are going to seem large. Like, maybe I'll mention $100,000 a year salary. And somebody in here may be making 18. Okay? To somebody else, $100,000 a year is, you know, that's the tip. Okay? So it's not the numbers that matter. But I have to use numbers in order to teach. Alright? Now let's just say, for example, right now, you're whatever you're doing, you're making $100,000 a year, and you're basically putting let's say you're a tither, strict tither. So you put $10,000 into the gospel. Isn't that right? But you'd like to get to me, but you do have the heart, see something down in you when you got saved. You know, God deposits gifts. You don't call yourself to be a pastor. God puts that in you. You don't call yourself to be a teacher. God puts that in you, right? Well, he puts the heart of a sender. The gospel entrepreneur, that just, when you get born again, if that's what he called you to do, it just comes in you. And the more you seek God, and the more you pray, this overwhelming desire to give more just keeps coming to the top. We got people in here like that, don't we?
Yeah.
Amen. Now, so he just drops that in you. He says, God, I'm making $100,000 a year, but I understand that. I'm under the law. So I'm giving $10,000 now, but oh God, I would like to give $100,000 a year. And God goes, I'd like to be good. God, you know? And God's going, well, I have wisdom for that. I can give you just one idea and you can, that'd be no problem. But I see, as long as you've got that religious mindset, strict tithing mindset, how much money does God have to pass through you to get that 100,000? A million. He's got to pass, and so 900,000 of it is going to be yours. Now, that's funny. You were living fine on 100,000 when you started this. But now you've got to have 900,000 for your creature comforts in order to give God 100,000? Can you see the folly of that strict tithing? We've got to come out from under that stuff. You are not under the law. You're children of the Most High God. I mean, you have an inheritance. We just haven't known we had it. We sure didn't know how to appropriate from it. Can y'all come back?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.